Red 5, I'm going in.
Stay in attack formation.
All right, welcome back to Trench Run Report. We just watched The Acolyte, Episode 4, titled Day, which is the midway point of the show, ending on quite a cliffhanger, almost mid-action cut.
That was nuts.
I think it did the Star Wars, like, scope-out, like, effect. Yeah. That, like, Star Wars is known for those, like, wipes and stuff. Right. But it did, like, the scope-out kind of thing.
Where it circles out.
Right. Yeah. Mando season 3 had like the Looney Tunes version of that. But so we're gonna just discuss our takeaways, what was effective, what was ineffective, and ratings as always. So obviously full spoilers, we go into full detail if you care about that. So I guess, Justin, what were some of your takeaways, likes and dislikes?
Definitely a very interesting episode. I'll go with my likes first. It was really cool to see more Jedi in Star Wars, and more of a Jedi presence in the Jedi Temple, I guess. Not to say that the prequels didn't have like Jedi in the temple, but it felt a little more like lively. So it was kind of cool to see that. Ending, although I did kind of throw in the no at the end, I did enjoy like that little abrupt ending in a way. It's like, okay, you got me hooked.
Tune in next week for The Acolyte. Yeah, it was kind of a Saturday morning
cereal
kind of feel.
Yeah, I haven't felt that way in a while. So it definitely makes me interested to see what happens next. And there was this one line that kind of in the episode that I also really liked, and I think it's kind of going to stick with me for a while. It's we're not defined by what we lose. It's more we're defined on what we survive, on how what we survive. Mm-hmm. That line kind of hit me, not make a long personal story short. It was Father's Day this weekend, and this is year 2 of me celebrating it without one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I kind of had like this little mild crisis about that a bit. This week, I think that kind of really helps. It really hit me that way. It kind of just made me that line just kind of made me like reevaluate something that was a little personal to me.
That's good.
All right, so negatives. I wouldn't say it's like a. Okay, just to add upon like a slight positive, I did like this episode slightly better than last week's, but I think that's more because it's continuing the story rather than just like kind of going back. With that out of the way, I think they did kind of throw a lot at us, like as far as like I felt like there were some bonding moments between characters that kind of felt a little, one, cut short, or B, just, like, wasn't there for me.
Who was cut short?
I'd say, like, Yord and Osha, like, that little deal where they were... I think they were trying to be sentimental in a way. Like where they talk about like she was like doubting Saul being
like when they were like at the when they kind of hang when they hung back
yeah.
and kind of connected mm-hmm. like one on one for the first time since they separated years ago
mm-hmm.
yeah and she is that where she
I think she like,
asked him to like intervene yeah. if she couldn't like she doesn't think she can face mm-hmm. her sister and then he kind of was like just like Saul, like you're not really facing her, you're facing yourself or whatever. That's kind of the message they're hammering in here is like these are your own inner demons or whatever that you're fighting, not as much your sister, which it turns out in the plot sister decides to change sides, I guess. My loyalty is to my sister, kind of out of the blue honestly, but they don't know that yet about each other, I guess. They
right.
haven't like they haven't reconciled yet, which is telegraphing to happen, I guess. Because May and Osha haven't met, like, socially yet. They've only met in conflict or whatever. Yeah. In 16 years or whatever it's been.
Though I do like the interactions between Osha and Jackie. I felt like if Osha decided to be a Jedi, I think they would be, like, Jedi pals in a way. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they had a little more of that. I felt like this episode could have been a bit longer. We could have, like, had a little bit more time with the characters, like Saul and Osha, definitely. And I... Yeah, actually, I have a question. Actually, I don't know. How old is Keanu Moody?
Yeah, was that him or was that just another one of his species?
I'm gonna say it's not him.
Because he is really old in the prequels, and this was like a younger version of...
I think his species does live a long time,
so that it could possibly... They didn't mention him by name. I don't know if the credits said anything, but... And then, like, there's a Plo Koon-looking guy, which I don't know if he lives a long time, too, but...
If we turned on the subtitles, we'd be able to know.
Possibly, because he did speak. So, I mean,
the Ki-Adi Mundi character spoke.
And he didn't have gray hair yet. So maybe. Maybe.
Oh, boy. Fans are going to have a field day with that one.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
But. Yeah.
Speaking of which, that does kind of bring up something that kind of tickled my brain a bit. They're not bringing stuff to the High Council. I feel like this is something that they would already be... So, like, that kind of begs the question. Is there, like a council tree, then? Like, High Council and then Mid-Council? Or
right.
Did they ever explore that?
Because the green lady has, like, middle manager Karen vibes, you know? Like, she's, like, power tripping a little bit in her, like, little fiefdom. Because she was, like, running that meeting, I guess. And she's somewhat of some kind of a boss or whatever. Because she's able to control... like information flow back and forth somehow, like Saul like takes orders from her, I guess, but like yeah, she's able to like stop things from going up the chain. Yeah, like she just seems like she's that's kind of sus and kind of but also kind of a way that you could bury this whole story. Like that's the way out of like quote unquote lore breaking.
This will
just be like erased from the history that anyone knows about. Because it's, like, an incident we don't talk about, like, Area 51. Like, we don't talk about what happened in Roswell, like, you know what I mean? Or even, like, secrets we don't even know about, obviously. That's, like, I can see that that's what they're kind of doing with that, perhaps, is that. And, or, like, the idea of, like, if it's meta, it's, like, there's atrocious things happening and then there's people who cover it up. Or people who enable bad things to happen and then those who, like, cover it up because, like, well, we can't look bad. Like, that's very true to life in all kinds of realms.
Mm-hmm.
And in her, like, the Leslie Headland story, obviously, there's a lot of cover-up happening with Harvey Weinstein's, like, dealings, right? So, like, and that was, like, an open secret in Hollywood until it, like, wasn't, I guess, until it just, like, hit a tipping point. And then
until his power.
Right. But he was able to, like, keep up the open secret and was protected or whatever until he wasn't. So, like, I think that's kind of, you can see that kind of bleeding out in the story, or like that's somewhat of an allegory slash inspiration. Like if you know that background, you can see it, and if you don't, it's not like you're not left confused, but like you can see like where the person running the show is coming from based on their experience. You can see it coming out as like, you know, an artist, you can see their heart comes out on the canvas, but it's not like too on the nose and it's not too distracting. It does work in the narrative to have like a uppity Jedi who's like, I control the information and this stops here and I'm gonna, but like that backfires in real life. Like real, like the CEO doesn't really want people keeping things from them. You know what I mean?
It, but it would contribute to the downfall of the Jedi in the prequels, which is that actually would have been very helpful for them all to know.
Right. this,
because then they're like, if they don't know,
right,
then
or if they think like they've been extinct for a millennia, nothing to worry about. It's like, well, it was something to worry about, apparently, right? But like, you didn't get the memo, literally.
Interesting.
But that's speculation, but seems to be the through line. Like, it's kind of the only purpose of the green alien character is to like keep reminding us that like, oh, this, we have to be like, we can't let stuff get out. We have to manage the optics and blah blah blah. Like, kind of the House of Cards character of like, what are the ramifications of the spin doctor person, right? He's like trying to put a spin on everything, which is uncharacteristic for Jedi. So I think it's the first time we're kind of seeing that kind of like Machiavellian,
that was
like
very
political.
Jarring, actually,
yeah,
it's like very jarring for me.
Yeah,
to hear someone just basically say like, we can't, we have to cover this up.
Yeah, like
and
not be truthful.
Thought of like Catholic Church vibe.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Just restation that Jedi. You
know? Yeah, absolutely.
Like, what? Like
right.
What?
Yeah.
What are we doing? and it puts them all the other Jedi, and it's like, well, then it's like she's taking advantage of like the chain of command. Right?
Yeah,
like she's like putting them all in a position where they like, do I disobey her or?
Yep.
You know, and you can tell that Saul is very more and more tortured by being put in that position and having to deal with what's going on in it. And not, and just being that in that small circle of people.
Yeah, and then they hinted at, like, he kind of, which may be, that may be his death mark. But Sol talked to Osha. He's like, I promise I'll tell you everything when we get back on the ship. I'm like, well, not if he doesn't survive, then like that's gonna be a loose thread now, right? That's like anytime anyone promises the child anything in any movie, like I promise everything's gonna be okay, and then you're like, things were not okay, right? like the narrator jumps in, like, it wasn't. Think Arrested Development.
The only reason that I don't think that will happen in the short term is that, like, if Saul, because I don't think Saul died at the end of this episode.
We don't know.
If he did, that's crazy, because then you have four more episodes without any of the main Jedi characters. Alive?
That'd be a heck of a force push if it killed them.
Yeah, that too. I don't think that was the implication that they were all dead.
No. Who knows?
But
he is on the list. He's on like the hit list. You know? But now like May is like tapped out, like she's not gonna keep going through her.
Yeah, that was
like that
didn't work.
Like she went from like, I'm gonna kill you as a kid to evil Jedi or like acolyte to the dark side to like, oh, she's alive, but I'm going to run away from her in one episode and then just decide in the middle of this other adventure that, like,
well,
no, I'm switching sides.
In this episode, I can't believe my sister's Jedi scum. And then in the same episode, she's like, I'm turning
myself
into
my loyalty is to my sister. I'm like, wait, since when?
Yeah, that was a little bit...
Like, I'm like, what? I don't understand.
There wasn't enough room for that to...
Yeah.
Marinate.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a quick Uno reverse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's going on?
That's where I feel like if the episode was a bit longer, it could have worked. But I don't know. I feel
like if it was going to be longer, it was going to happen. Because my take on it was that we were just kind of walking and talking most of the episode. And it was like, okay, like, not that. Is not walking and talking episodes aren't necessarily bad automatically.
Right.
I thought that this one was not executed terribly well.
Right. Just like at the Hound and Arya from Game of Thrones. That's a lot of, like, their entire season four is walking and talking, but yeah, it's exquisite.
That can be done really well.
Yeah.
And there were times, elements where this was, that was done well. And then there were elements where I was just like,
how did they lose?
Wasn't
the
really
gopher?
Sure what the conversations were trying to tell us.
They lost the gopher and
how did you lose him?
I thought that,
well, they were really close by, I guess, to hear
him. I thought it was just a very long walk through the jungle from both sides.
Yeah.
And then, like, even, like, the, I guess they were kind of insinuating that, like, I feel like some of the character development or arcs were just kind of, like at the beginning of the episodes, Osha's like, I'm not a Jedi. I'm not going on this mission. I'm done.
Right.
I'm out. And this is not. And then she has like a 30-second conversation with Sol, and she's like, "Okay, I'll go."
Yeah.
And then she goes, and then she's not on that planet for 10 minutes, and she's like, getting her Jedi feelings again. It's like,
yeah.
And it's like, what? Like, it just felt.
And they're heavily like, there's good in her. Like, referring to May. I'm like, yep, redemption arc.
Yeah,
right?
Well, I mean,
like,
we
it's inevitable.
The beginning of
yeah.
the first episode, she wouldn't kill the bartender because the bartender had a kid.
Right.
And that was obvious. Like, but I just think that some of the character turns here just felt very abrupt and unearned.
Yeah. Right.
And that was a little bit jarring because then it's like, if you don't earn those turns, then it kind of falls flat.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting. It's like, I think that the only reason that I think that I'm still optimistic in many ways is that it's like, oh, like, wait, what? Like, we're halfway through the season and three of the four Jedi that they wanted dead are dead. We know that Mei and Osho are twins.
Yeah.
And we know that all this stuff happened. Mei has changed sides,
but nobody knows that.
Right.
Nobody who matters,
like,
knows that
at this
right
point
now.
Like, there's just a, it's, there's, I am not where I thought we would be after four episodes,
because is the mystery now, I guess, the why, and like, who's behind the Smilo Ren mask, but like, ultimately, like, why did Mei need to kill all these Jedi? Like, what really happened, I guess?
Well, I think the tension now,
right?
Is that Sol is the only one left.
Yeah, who knows what
really
happened.
Really knows what happened,
yeah.
Or has any insight into that.
Yeah.
Mei and Osha don't know, in the sense that they only know their
right.
perspective.
Yes.
Sol's the only one who has the Jedi's perspective. Unless Smilo Ren is somebody who was on Brendok 16 years ago, which is possible.
Right. They would know.
Yeah.
Or if it's...
I think it's the Zabrak mom.
You think, okay.
I think...
And I think it's Kamir. The little... The fool, quote-unquote, right? The
right.
guy pretending to be an idiot or whatever. Because
right.
He's there, obviously, on the planet. He's like...
Yeah.
He's within, sneaking around fast, getting ahead of her distance.
Right.
Like, he could have ran ahead of her, killed the Wookiee, and then prepared his, like, dramatic entrance... and has a voice modulator, obviously, because
right.
as far as we know, Mei and him haven't been in the same room with their master. They're always like talking about, like, they each independently meet with him, which is convenient cover if you are him. Like, you can be like, oh yes, I'm going to talk to our boss right now, like,
right.
be back later. And then
I felt like that
you
was
know.
A little too obvious.
Yeah,
like, it reminded me of like Superman, where like
right.
Clark Kent, like,
mm-hmm.
like,
just puts on glasses.
Superman, and then the next 2 minutes later, he's knocking on the door
yeah.
with Clark Kent.
Yeah.
It's like, gee, I wonder.
But, like, is it, so that's where I'm stuck, where I'm like, are they trying to make it so obvious that it's like an obvious misdirect, or is it like that?
Is it that
it's bad? It's so badly written that, like, we can easily tell what's going on, and, like, if they're trying to fool us, we're not fooled. Or are they trying to have us, like, you know what I mean? Like, because if it's really well written, you would second guess yourself in a good way, and I'm second guessing myself in a bad way, where I'm like, either I'm way smarter than they are, or they are way smarter than they've shown so far. You know what I mean? Like, I can't tell what.
I think,
like,
if it ends up being the whatever his name is, the poison guy,
Kamir,
that would be very disappointing to me. and too on the nose.
Because then we would have nothing of, like, why. Like, because then you'd have to have, like, his villain monologue of, like, okay, let's now get to know you as the villain. Like, what are you about? Why are you a bad guy? Like, and then he'll just stand there and tell you.
At this point, I'm not really sure where they're going with it. Like, is this just going to continue to be just a story about understanding what happened 16 years ago? Or
right.
Is this more about something that's happening now?
Right. Because I imagine that, like,
May has given up on her revenge mission.
Yeah.
Osha's back with the Jedi, even though she isn't a Jedi. And I don't know, like, where do we go now? Like, the mission that she was sent on is almost completely finished.
Yep.
We all go, to answer your question, we all go to Dex's Diner. that's where it's going.
I think if... Okay. if Sol does die, like, from this, or, like, in, like, a fight or something. Because, like, we haven't seen Venestra Rose, like, light whip yet.
Yeah.
That was in the trailer. And then we haven't seen, like... I thought there was, like, the red lightsaber, like, flying, like,
yeah,
being thrown.
Through. Yeah,
so there must be some fight that follows that push. But, like, if Sol dies in that, if you have, like, all of the Jedi eyewitnesses of what actually happened dead, then, like, assuming if Smylo Ren is, like... is one of the witches, then she would have an eyewitness version, and then you'd have May and Osha's versions. But more likely, like, what I imagine happening is that the quote-unquote truth, the objective truth of what happened, will be, like, snuffed out. Like, all eyewitnesses are dead, all the witches are dead, and Sol's dead, and, like, May and Osha, like, just have to figure out how to, like, reconcile the truth, each other's truth, without, like, a neutral arbiter or without, like, facts. They just have to, like, come to an understanding relationally. Because this whole thing is, like, like Leslie Headland said, this is, like, a big meta for, like, her, like, falling out and then, like, whatever reconciliation with her own sister. And it's like this is, like, her therapy session or whatever. So, like, that, if given that, I imagine, like, that's going to be the theme, is, like, May and Osha have to come to an understanding when there isn't, like, a truth to appeal to. It's just a matter of perspective, and you just, like, come to an understanding when there's not, like, an objective set of facts to talk about.
Well, I was listening to Force Center, and they were talking about how, like, they were trying to figure out, or maybe it was Rebel Force Radio, I don't remember, but they were talking about, like, that flashback episode, whose perspective was that from? And
mm-hmm.
I think the most valid interpretation I heard was it was from Osha's perspective.
Yeah.
Primarily from the point where May lights the book
right.
on fire, you really only see what happens
yes.
from Osha's perspective.
Yeah,
you don't see it from May's perspective, and those are the times when we have the most questions.
Yeah,
I guess the real question is, like, because this episode really feels very separate from the flashback.
Mm-hmm. Like, what would have been more effective for me in the. I don't think it'll go this way now because they're, like, cutting off different alternatives as each minute goes by. But, like, if you had had Osha... had that event happen and Osha goes with the Jedi and becomes a Jedi and has never left... Like, she's a full-on Jedi. And May... And so because she was told by Sol, like, here's what happened. So, like, Osha's got her idea of what happened and that animates her and motivates her to be a Jedi. And then May has what she saw happen, and the, like, Sith person took her under her wing, and or his or her wing, and fed, like, hey, this story is motivating you. And, like, so basically, if it gets to the point where, like, May and Osha are both Force users, but they both find out that, like, both their masters lied to them to some degree, like, when they figure out, like, what really happened, now they're, like, at odds with each of their masters. Like, you'd be, like, mad if, like, your parents lied to you about something major. Like, oh,
right.
You were adopted and you didn't know it or whatever. Or you were, like, something about, like, we gave up your sibling when, when, like, we could, you know what I mean? Like, you have a sister, right? Or, like, in this case, like, Sol told Osha she's dead. And then somehow she finds out that her sister's alive and you lied to me about that. And now I'm mad at Sol. Like, what's up with that? What else are you hiding from me?
Right.
Like, that's where you create a more dramatic relational tension. And, like, they just kind of, they didn't, like, go there, I guess, or they didn't, like, kind of set up those stakes and set that table. That would be, like, it's, like, more interesting to me to have, let's explore, like, what it means to be, like, betrayed by your own master, when new information drops that like change, like rocks your world, right? And they both go through the same thing as sisters independently, but it's like they're going through the same thing, and like might they each turn on each other? And like what if the even cooler, like what if they like switch sides, like light becomes dark, dark becomes light? Or what if Osha and May actually were switched, like what if this whole time Osha is May, like the twins got swapped, and like
right,
like I guess the tattoo thing throws that up, but that would have been like, again, that could have been like if you kept us guessing, like which twin are we actually seeing?
Where you keep thinking you right. know, and then it keeps.
Or like they had different names as kids with the witches, and yeah. they have their new names. They're like given names, like you know what I mean. Like you get adopted and they change your name, right? It's like we don't know which kid was which in the flashback, so we're guessing which kid grew up to be which kid. That would have been interesting tension to hold until the right moment. But they like, oh, see the one with the tattoo on her head? That's the right yeah. one. And it's the same name. Like, they should have switched their names. Yeah, we should have not known which kid was which last week. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I thought that... I'll just throw in my likes and dislikes. This was probably my least favorite episode of the four. My strongest like was that from that moment when that whatever is it any name for that character?
Smilo Ren.
Like,
Darth Smiley.
From the moment that that character was floating in from the background, Darth Slipknot background, yeah. I was like, oh, like there was something about that just
it was like Psycho Mantis from Metal Gear Solid. It was the vibes very, I was getting.
It was very. Menacing, yes, yeah. It was very scary, and the way they drew it out,
right,
and how that like the character never spoke.
It's so androgynous, like you can't tell if it's a male or female under that.
Yeah,
because like, there's no form fitting, or there's not like right. the robe is such that like you can't tell. Of it, yeah,
and like the jaggedness of it.
It's like a Joker vibe with the
like,
grin.
It looked like at any minute, like that helmet could just like.
Like, yeah, like the mouth of Sauron like, with the teeth.
Yeah. Like it was very, like, and like the way that thing just got right. Because
it's almost exactly the Kylo Ren mask, especially in the back. I'm like, it's like literally, it looks like Kylo Ren.
That was.
So I call it Smilo Ren.
That was that. Those last like whatever.
I think I saw its eyes.
Did you?
There was at least one like where he's coming in. And mm-hmm. I was trying to see. Wait, is that yeah. thing have eyes? And then I think I saw one. I'm like, well, okay, that's a little creepy.
That was the way that was just executed was done so well, and is so not like that was very not that was very jarring for Star
yeah,
Wars.
That was like a slasher movie kind
yeah,
of vibe.
Like it was
yeah.
very
mm-hmm.
horrifying. Like it was scary.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that was the high point for you.
That was definitely the high point for me. The only other thing that I thought was good was, what I should say is that I think, for better or worse, it's very interesting, like the politics of the Jedi. And again, this is where I think if I hadn't read any of the High Republic stuff, this would be working less for me, because reading the High Republic stuff, like there's a lot of things in there that do because in the context of just the show, it's very kind of jarring that the Jedi almost seem to be like corrupt. Like there's definitely like a.
They're not
ethics.
The servants of the
some
living force.
Questions come
yeah.
up here, like, whoa, wait,
they're
whoa.
Kind of bureaucratic or like
yeah,
corporate.
Like, she's like yeah. flat out saying like,
mm-hmm.
we gotta.
This is bad for the brand. We gotta yeah, be like, brand conscious
it's
or whatever.
The second time that she's
yeah.
basically said like,
yeah,
we gotta keep this quiet and.
She's
like,
a suit.
We need to deal with this internally.
Right, a corporate
which is
suit.
Very
right.
sketchy.
Yes.
And I think that was. If that's the intention, it was done well. I'm not sure how well it works yet in the story.
Right.
But it would definitely explain... it would be a cautionary tale, right? Like...
Yeah.
Like, that backfired on the entire galaxy. Like, that, you know?
Yeah.
That's like the... If you did that, that's like the precursor to
right.
Order 66. Like, you... you facilitated the Sith being able to stay hidden,
right?
Which is deeply problematic.
And then some of the like Mace Windu kind of carries on a little bit of that aspect of like the Jedi Order is like first and foremost in his mind, not like the will of the Force as much, right? Like,
well, he's also kind of a stickler, skeptical. He doesn't want to, you know, like he doesn't believe Anakin when he tells him, "I've discovered," you know,
right? There's a Sith Lord. He's like, yeah. Like,
well, we'll see,
right?
A Sith Lord.
But I think that that last sequence and some of the dialogue, I think there was more for me in this episode that didn't work. It didn't completely fall off, but like it definitely, I thought a lot of the dialogue and acting was not so great. But it was enough to like I feel like all the characters stayed who they are and continued to develop their relationships. I thought it was kind of cool to see Yord and Osha connecting again. Like, I kind of forgot that, oh yeah, they used to be Padawans together, and that was kind of cool.
Or younglings,
and
even.
I do think that Yord as an actor, the person who's... I just think he does a really good job of being that character. Like, regardless of how I feel about Yord, I think Yord and Lee Jung Jae, like, Sol, are the two best performances in the show. Although I do like...
Jackie?
Yeah, like... She's,
the Padawan?
Yeah, she's pretty... She's decent. I thought that the visual, the way that the Jedi looked in that meeting they were having was like, what was that one guy like a walrus or something? Like, like some of the...
Hey, that's speciesist.
That was just not like, or like it, whatever, whoever that, the Ki Adi Mundi, like his voice just didn't, was like, that doesn't sound like...
I thought he was going to say, what about the droid attack on the Wookiees? I thought he was going to chime in with a whataboutism, which is on brand for that species.
Speaking of the Wookiee,
they killed him.
He never did anything. Like, we barely got any of Kelnaka at all.
No lightsaber scene with him?
Yeah.
There's a flashback where he's slashing his lightsaber and Torben is falling to the ground.
Right. That's why I think that something happened at the temple.
Yeah.
That involved like a slaughter of some kind.
At the witches.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think we're gonna see like Mane's version of
Because he had that scar on his face.
Yeah.
When he was meditating, but he also had it back on the ship, and I think that he might have been wounded by his own, might have been friendly fire, but. But ultimately, like, I mean, like, there's all this, you know, the first Jedi Wookiee just gets slashed sitting in his chair. Like, I just thought that was just, I mean, we barely even got him to, like, growl. He just barely was even.
He just was like, get off my lawn, kids.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was a little bit, I guess maybe his story is more about the past than the present.
Yes.
Even though, I mean, like, we didn't get much more time with Indara either.
Yeah.
Or with Torben, for that matter. So I guess that's not... the other... Sol is the only one of the four that we're getting really a character from.
Yeah.
But I do think that the show is continuing to, at least for me, like... Especially this episode. Like, it was like watching a baseball game where it's like 0-0 until the bottom of the ninth inning and then someone hits a...
A grand
walk-off home
something.
Run.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it felt
that's
like
fair.
For me.
Yeah.
It was like... And that in and of itself is a win, right? Like, if you can at the end of an episode, regardless of what I think of the entire episode, make me go, oh, no! Like, okay, I definitely want to see the next episode now. Like, I'm very much like the way that they built up to that was very... well done and very well executed, I thought. And it's just unfortunate that that was, I think that that was, there's just a lot of, or like even like the, some of the scene, like the scene where she touches the bug thing and then it comes alive and then Sol kills it and then they just move on. And I was like, I guess the only real point of that was like,
she said she could sense it.
She said, oh, I touched it.
And then she's like upset about it dying.
Died.
Yeah. But she's like, I caused it to die because I, like, woke it up, and yeah. then and now it's dead. It's like,
I'm not really sure what that's supposed to mean.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to like show her as like a
afraid
an empath.
She's afraid of her abilities.
She's caught between like, because at the beginning of the episode she's like, I'm not a Jedi.
Right.
Which really rang Ahsoka vibes to me. Like, I'm not a Jedi. But yet, she is very much...
has the ability.
Yeah, and she's not... Yeah. I'm just really surprised. I think that maybe this is a test. I guess I don't know yet, but... I'm pretty impressed with overall. Like, they went way further in the story in the first four episodes than I expected. So now I'm like baffled. I'm like, what is the rest of this show about?
Yeah.
Like, but not no clue.
Yeah. And it's always hard to tell if that's like a good thing or
right.
not.
I don't know if it's a good thing or not, but right. it's definitely got me curious.
Right.
And if that's the point, then it's mission accomplished. Because now I'm like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay. Three of the four Jedi are dead. May has resigned from being an apprentice to this, whatever that is. And the figure has just confronted an entire group of Jedi and force-pushed them all against the mm-hmm. Kalnaka's house. And what is... like? What, so the rest of the story isn't about hunting the Jedi, or at least it isn't for May. The rest of the story isn't about May's... like, she's... I don't know what's gonna happen with her. Like, so
yeah, but she's like, I'm gonna surrender to the Jedi or whatever. So
yeah,
I guess that's still the plan. But again,
if she does, in fact, if in the next episode she's taken into custody by the Jedi, like,
mm-hmm. or taken in, or if now Osha and May are taken into custody by Smylo Ren, because Smylo Ren kills everyone else. Like, now our hero and wannabe heroine are both now with the bad guy. Like, they're in the stage of the story where, like, the bad guy has him, and it's like, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die, right? You'll get, like, that's how you can get, like, the villain backstory / motivation speech, is if you have one of them captured. Like, I bet you, Osha is going to get captured by Smylo Ren, but May is going to get detained by the surviving Jedi from this encounter. And that's they're gonna be the setup for the next like act is like one of them or one like one gets captured and the other one escapes and like I gotta go rescue my sister, right? And it's like the chase for the captured one.
I think
now,
it's gonna be
right?
more because like
cause I think it's Osha always, getting captured more than
they
May. But
hyped the show up as being like a show about the Sith, and we haven't gotten
right
whether that character is a Sith or not,
right?
There's
no like Sith
war. The
there was like one like cringe Facebook post, you know, like speech that they gave
right
at the end of episode one.
Yep.
But there's no like I'm sitting at your feet, Master, teach me the ways. And there's not like even like a Darth Plagueis story. Like when he told Anakin that Darth Plagueis story, that was really effective.
I think
that, in
that
moment
that
you're like,
might
oh,
be what the rest of the show is. It's
no,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
Because again,
we
like,
unveiled. Now
if Osha gets captured
by
Smylo Ren, then we could have like her getting kind of trying to get seduced, or like she's trying to resist getting sucked into this like Sith cult or whatever, and like May might escape the Jedi too, and like now May is gonna try to track down her master and save her sister, and then like heroically sacrifice herself or whatever to save her sister at the end against the big bad or whatever. Like, that's how I can kind of see this maybe playing out.
I think it was just crazy how they ended the episode. Like the way that episode ended, like, how else do you pick up the next episode besides being right?
Yeah, I'm sure it will. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it will.
Literally.
Right. Because mm-hmm. I think the editing on the show is, like, they just took 8 hours of content and just, like, cut it.
Right.
Almost randomly or whatever. Like, they didn't, like, plan out, like, we have 24 minutes of airtime plus ads to tell a story, and we have to have like the tempos where we have ad breaks. Like the old way of doing TV had like a pace and a formula to it that the streaming era is like you're freed from that, but that also makes it like I don't know. I guess we're so used to like the tempo of a show with ads, you know, that like it hits these beats at certain times, and like that's almost comforting.
Right.
Like, and like we're like we're used to that. Right. So when they don't, when it just like plays out like an 8-hour movie cut into 8 chunks, it is like weirder to watch, especially week to week. Maybe not as much binging, because when you're binging it, it's like an 8-hour movie. Yeah, and when you binge a TV show that was an aired show, like it's really apparent of like the canned laughter on the sitcom and like the like, oh, we cut to a commercial, and then when it fades back up, they like sort of recap what just happened to pick you back up like since the break. Like, and you know, it's like it's jarring when you watch a show that used to be on broadcast TV. If you just like binge it, it's like jarring now too in that way.
When you watch something on Hulu that was on broadcast TV, but yeah, then it's on Hulu without commercials, you can see where the breaks are.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought, it's like I always give it, you know, I start things at 5 and then you gain or lose points. And so for me, this one, like, it lost as many points as it might have gained. So it still lands at a 5 for me. So I think it was a slight improvement overall to last week, which I wasn't a huge fan of. But you're right, like, it really is just, it's a lot of nothing. I like, you said, it's like a baseball game that's 0-0 until the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah.
And then, like, something happens in the bottom of the ninth to tie it up, let's say, right? So you're going into extra innings now.
Right.
But, like, you know, top of the ninth, 3 runs hit, and the bottom of the ninth, the home team, like, comes back for 3, and now we're in extra innings. Like, oh, the game's going, yeah, but it was a boring slugfest until then. Yeah. I think that's a good way to describe
it's like
it. Which,
a pitcher's duel.
Right. So it's like mid, right? So 5 is mid. So it's still pretty mid. There is like a lot of the dialogue is super cringe. Some of the performances are very wooden. Like Sol is kind of carrying it on his back as far as the acting goes, which is like, especially if you're grading him on a curve for like learning English just for this role. Yeah. Like that's pretty like amazing, like on its own right. I do agree that like Jedi Knight Killmonger guy, he's playing his character. Yeah, Yord. He's like playing his character well.
Yes.
His character's kind of got a stick up his butt, and that's on brand for him. Like, and that, so like it's working as that kind of guy. You know,
I think it's working. Really
he's not.
Well.
Yeah, he's not like. he's really. I'm not rolling my eyes at him, but I'm not like. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm just like, you're serving your role, right? You're a serviceable performance of this character that is like a specific like kind of Shakespearean, like you're like Mercutio or you're Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Like Hamlet or Shakespeare always had these like specific character types that he put in like every single play, and like this is like an archetypal kind of character of like he kind of, because in the previous ones he was kind of the foil to Jackie. Like Jackie was he kind of existed for Jackie to like overrule him or like steamroll him, right? Like he's like, I have this idea, and she's like, well, that idea is stupid and here's why. And then Sol's like, yeah, let's go with your idea, girl. And he's like, oh, dang it. Like, so there's like, that's kind of like his character was like set up to be like the fall guy for like
joke he's pulling a little bit. It off perfectly.
Yeah, I know, like, right? Like he's in on it. Yeah, but like like, so it he's can be also, yeah,
but then he had that moment where he was talking to Osha where he was like kind of his guard came down a little bit and he was like relatable.
I think if Kamir is not Smilo Ren, then he is uber cringe to me. Like, and I don't know why we've had him sticking around. Like,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
So if he's not,
what is
his? Yeah, if he's not the big bad, then he is like really out of place and really quite annoying up to this point. To me,
is he supposed to be like?
He's like a sort of acolyte too, it sounds like, which doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, like I don't understand. Like he's like an operative.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the guy who James Bond goes to get all his
Q
gadgets.
Yeah, kind of like Q. But like, so like that's where I'm like, I don't know, like maybe like when it's all over and we see retrospect, it'll maybe make more sense. But like I'm not sure how I'm supposed to feel about him, but I'm also not sure if I'm supposed to be not sure about how I feel about him. Again, it's one of those like the writing is like it's not landing for me where I am like I get what you're trying to say and do. I'm like I'm not sure I might be overthinking this, right? And that's not, I don't want to be overthinking it. I want to like go for the ride without like trying to psychoanalyze it or like trying to like figure like trying to decode what are they trying to say or do, because like I'm not following the logic of a lot of this. And like, again, if he's not that, then I don't, he was like a dumb character that's just like there for what comic, if he's supposed to be comic relief, he's not that funny. Because I'm like, if he's the bad guy, then he's playing it up.
I think his performance overall is better than most of the other performances in the show.
But I just can't not see him as Jason from The Good Place. Like, who plays, he plays like basically that same character.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he as a character, when he's on screen, I enjoy his performance. I'm just not entirely sure what the point is.
Right.
But I do think that this is a show on purpose that is largely impossible to judge until the end, because you just don't really get everything from the beginning, and it's not direct.
Right. I think it's one of those, like, have you ever been in an escape room? Have you ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where, like, yeah, you have, like, all these little puzzles, and, like, some of them end up being nothing, but some of them, like, lead you to the next clue and so on, and, like, the idea is, like, get out in the hour, within an hour or however long you have. But, like, some of the, there's, like, a bunch of red herrings and a bunch of, like, time waster stuff that you can get, like, sucked into that, like, waste your time. But, like, when you're all done, you can, like, evaluate it all in context and be, like, so you're, like, oh, man, I got all worked up over that one thing, and, like, it ended up not being worthwhile or, like, anything. Yeah. And so, like, there's, like, your emotions during the thing, and then there's, like, the recontextualization of the emotions in light of the full thing. You're like, oh, I can, like, reevaluate. Like, in context, I was all worked up over this thing, and all said and done, it didn't really matter, so it was nothing to get worked up about. But, like, so that's, like, kind of, like, this, like, a live reaction in the middle of the show is different than if we covered this after it's all done. We'd have a very different take on it, I'm sure, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's this show is going to rise or fall on how
the totality of it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a 5 for me, which is mid.
All right. So, originally I wanted to give it a 7, but the more I think about it, I might have to see it again. But for right now, I'm going to give it a 6.5. I mean, it is a lot. There's a lot of talking. A lot of it feels a little bit rushed. I felt like the episode probably would have benefited if it was a bit longer, so we can focus on the characters I actually like. I mean, I like some of the characters, but it's kind of at the point where it's like, okay, maybe this is a good time to get to know them a little bit more. Maybe get to know, like, I mean, like, they have, like, little good moments where they bounce off each other fine.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if they extended some of those scenes, it would have made the episode better for me. And again, that ending hook, it got me hooked.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know if, and I'm trying to remember what I gave in the last episode. I know that one
gave
was
the same score, 6.3, I think you did.
Oh, it was lower?
I think it was 6.3.
Okay.
6 something. It may be 8. But
go 6.6. I know it wasn't 6.0 or 6.5, because that's just too,
yeah, so
too clear for you. You got to be like 6.27.
Yeah.
9 point. My best was 9.904 for that one with the Outpost episode with Crosshair. His call, his call number. Because that was like almost a 10 out of 10 for me, that one. But One Way Out is a 10 out of 10 for me. From Andor.
This episode was weird. I'll have to watch it over again. My gut reaction is least favorite of the 4. But damn, that ending. Damn. Like, the way, so I'm not sure if that ending worked because of how the whole episode was structured, if it was literally just the ending was just so good. But, like, so it's very hard for me, because, like, for most of the episode, I was kind of like, oh, this is not, there's just not, I'm not.
Like, if you had left in the 7th inning stretch, you would have said that game was terrible.
Yeah, I'd have been bored.
Like, and then you missed the sort of exciting ending.
But this was definitely a mixed bag for me. I would say that I gave last week, I think, a 6.5. I think I would recalibrate a little bit and give last week a 7 and give this a 6.5, maybe a 6. Because really, apart from that last sequence, this was not very good to me. But as an entire episode, like, you got to judge it on its entirety. And I think it redeemed itself at the end. I will say that, at least from my perspective, I think it's helpful to, it's also important to me to, like, for my own sake of, like, trying to filter through all the noise about this show, that so far that, like, the two biggest concerns that I had going into the show were, I didn't want to be distracted by heavy-handed political messaging of any kind. I'm fine with some, but I didn't want it to be a distraction.
Yeah.
And I still don't think it's been. This episode was, at least to me, like, completely devoid of that.
Right.
And at least for this episode, like, I didn't feel like it. I don't feel like there's any room for anyone to watch that and go, oh, they changed something. Like, they retconned something.
Right. There wasn't much lore.
They broke something. Yeah. Because, like, I feel like those were the two biggest concerns that people had going into
right.
it. And, like, that's the part that I'm, like...
I guess other than, like, how do red lightsabers come into existence in this? Like, what's the current thinking on that? Is it the bleeding of the crystal thing? Or is that Legends? Or is, like, how do you get a red lightsaber now?
It's canon. Right?
Bleeding it. Okay.
Yeah. Disney. I mean, we don't know yet what that. Well, that's.
I mean, we saw a red lightsaber, so somehow they got one, whether they made it themselves or not. But, like, there's a red lightsaber now.
I think the rest of the show is going to be more about, like, filling in, like, how this.
Yeah.
How this story connects to the
right.
ongoing efforts of the Sith.
So the story is, like, not super linear. I guess it's been. 1, 2, and 4 are linear. They play out linearly, but it requires flashbacks and stuff to, like, really make sense, I guess. Well, I guess we'll see how it all plays out.
I can't believe that's how they killed off Kilnaka.
I wish they would have taken...
Off camera.
Yeah. I wish they would have taken last week and cut it and interspersed it throughout the rest of the show. Like, if they slowly reveal pieces of the backstory through different means.
Right.
Like, she dreams when she sleeps, or, like, if she kind of talks to people that she knew from that time, like, or even better, like, if, again, if it turned out, if it was, like, oh, Saul took her in, but, like, she's learning, like, these, like, memories are, like, coming back, and it turns out that, like, he, like, wiped her mind, or, like, tried to wipe her mind of the memories, and, like, now she's mad at him for, like, trying to brainwash her or whatever, and, like, she's realizing that she's been, like, duped, and, like, her mind's been erased. For her own good, and, like, but it's, like, leeching out, and, like, she's slowly, like, getting memories back, but pieces of it, and, like, she can't really trust it, and, like, but again, like, if instead of having one singular episode, you could have had that whole episode play out in little chunks and pieces, even out of order, and, like, the puzzle pieces
show?
Are all there, and they finally, like, land together at
the
end. We should be, if you're gonna, like, pick Osha's perspective and have her only know select information at select times, that is the most dramatic tension and resolution. Within episodes and between episodes, and, like, you need to have, like, a game master or, like, a dungeon master behind the screen who's, like, controlling the narrative
right.
more carefully and more, like, artfully instead of, like, a little more clumsily, like we've seen. I don't know. That's my artistic take on it, I guess. It would have been more effective to just, like, dole it out in little smaller pieces, you know? Anyway, David, thoughts and rating?
I'm kind of still in the same boat with you, as Sean, as far as rating. Show felt kind of like a Wish version of Lord of the Rings with walking and talking, as you guys kind of kind of mentioned. Because kind of
you almost have the da 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 da. When they're, like, walking, the Fellowship is on its way. Yeah, that's for sure.
So kind of had, like, the cheaper version.
Dun, dun,
dun. Yep.
Yeah,
on the ridge of the mountain.
Yep,
like,
yep, yep.
The little squirrel.
Well, he's kind of like that little hobbit guide or whatever.
He's a
halfling.
Column.
Yeah, they call him.
Yeah, your illustration with the baseball game, I think, fits really well.
Yeah.
Boring up into, like, the bottom of the ninth. I kind of liked how they built up to that. I liked how he came, Darth or Smilo Ren.
Yep. It's canon until proven otherwise.
Smilo Ren, Darth Teeth, or
We'll go with
Darth like
Smilo
Ren.
I like
Smilo Ren.
I like how they had him come in, kind of like
floating,
kind of
out of focus.
Light.
Yeah. Out of focus.
It was an interesting entrance. I didn't quite get why he walked up to Osha and then just like ignited the lightsaber. I felt that was kind of weird, but
it could. I mean, they're obviously not trying to kill her because they could have easily done that. So like
that's why I think it's the mom.
The mom. I'm not ruling that out either, for sure.
She could have just slashed right through her and then gone straight after May.
Right.
I'd probably give it 4 or 5. I probably would redo my number for last week's because I thought last week's was just really bad. So that I'd probably bump that down to like a 2 or 3. So this is a little bit above it. The ending... pretty good, so I guess we'll see what the fight's going to look like. Because assuming it's going to start out with a fight.
I have to assume. Unless it's another flashback and it goes like, let's go do May's perspective now and then come back to the fight or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Because there's part of that trailer where Sol rolls over on the ground and he's got his lightsaber extended. Yeah. And he's like, what are you?
So that's like him recovering from the fall.
I feel like that's got to be the same scene.
Right.
So we're still waiting for that. Mm-hmm. So, I'd give this one 4.5 or 5.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all right. So
if it had Vader, it'd be a 10.
But of course, always. He's not born yet for a long time. So that'll do it for Acolyte season 1 of 1 or 2. Who knows? Episode 4, day. No, night.
Day.
What was it called? Day. Day. Tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow is night.
Next week is dusk.
Dusk. Yeah, we'll see. So that's our episode 4 review. Until next time, may the force be with you.
Always.